Nice to see you all here. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. We are soon coming to the end of this year. And what a year it has been. Never before in our history have we had a year like this. And so it is fitting that the scripture that we just heard from Samuel, 2 Samuel, is about a man reflecting, not just on 1 year of his life, but actually looking back on his entire life. 2 Samuel 23 records the last words of King David. The last words. By now, he was an old man reflecting on his whole life. He gave thanks to God for one of his greatest blessings, that even though his family was not influential, not prominent, yet God chose David, the youngest of this not-so-prominent family, and brought him to greatness as the king of Israel. And yet, David, remembering this great blessing, he's very mindful of the words of God, because God told him how to be a good king. And this applies to all of us, because in a sense, all of us are to be good leaders. And so, David remembers these words from 2 Samuel 23, 3 to 4. When one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. A good leader is compared to light. He's compared to the sun. He's compared to the rain. And all of these bring forth growth, bring forth life to the people who are under him. That's a good leader. A bad leader is the opposite. And verse 6 talks about a bad leader like a thorn. And if you, as a person, brush against a thorn, you know you'll be badly bruised. David remembers God called him to be a good shepherd, to be a good king. And so we consider David, this man of God, as a king. What was one of the greatest blessings that David left behind for his people? Verse 1 of 2 Samuel 23 says, "The oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." David was Israel's sweet psalmist. He was the sweet singer of Israel. So even today, centuries later, this is how the people of Israel remember David. This statue is one of the famous landmarks in Jerusalem. On my trips to Israel, I've been very taken up with this statue. This is a statue of their favorite king, King David. And you know, King David was a mighty warrior, a great man of battle. But look at what is in his hand. It's not a sword. It's a harp. So even today, Israel is best loved as Israel's sweet singer. He is best loved as a worshiper. As a worshiper, David's greatest, or one of his greatest contributions to his nation, was that of songs. And for us too, as Christians, we are also beneficiaries of the many songs of David. The book of Psalms is all about beautiful songs of worship that we can sing to the Lord, many of them written by David. What is so important about songs? Well, in Singapore, we certainly know the importance of songs. Sing Together Singapore. Every National Day, we are reminded of the central role of songs in building up our national identity. Though we are different people from different races, we are brought together very much through singing common songs, a common identity. For David, writing songs was more than just a case of building up a national identity. David was keenly aware that songs have tremendous spiritual value. And so, in the gospel reading that we heard just now, Jesus sang a hymn. Singing is important. Worship is important. And so today, let's look at the spiritual value of songs, the spiritual value of worship. Firstly, Worship is for God. Worship is for God. There are many expressions of worship, many ways that we can worship. The most obvious one is singing. There are other ways to worship God. Clapping hands is also a way of worshiping. Raising our hands, even dancing, is a way of worship. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see the record of how King David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. This Ark of the Covenant was not just a piece of furniture, but it actually symbolized the very presence of God. And so, as the king, here he was welcoming the presence of God into his capital city. What was the right way to worship? What was the right response? And for David, the right way to worship and respond was to dance. 2 Samuel 6:14 says, David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. David danced. Unfortunately, when we dance, people can misunderstand us. And so it happened that here was King David dancing vigorously. One woman, the Bible says, looked at him and despised him. That woman was none other than his own wife, Michal. She saw him dancing and she despised him. Why? Maybe she thought he was being indecent. The Bible says he was wearing an ephod. An ephod is something like an apron. So if you can imagine, it's rather short. And with David dancing, this short ephod would have got shorter and shorter. And so probably this is what his wife thought, that he was being very indecent. All the more because of the way that he was dancing. The Bible actually describes his dancing through one Hebrew word. This Hebrew word is kara. Kara. And kara means to leap or to jump. You know, for us, we may dance like this, like ground level, but kara means to leap or to jump. And it also has another meaning. Kara means to twirl round and round. So, if you can imagine David doing kara kind of dancing, he's jumping up and down, and he's twirling round and round all at the same time. So that's why the Tanakh translation of the Bible puts it this way. It says, David whirled with all his might before the Lord. 2 Samuel 6:14. David at this time was not an old man. He was a young man, a great warrior, a man of great strength, a man of great physical energy. If he did the kara kind of dancing with all his might, all his strength, you can imagine he's jumping very high. He's twirling round and round very vigorously. Maybe that's why his wife despised him. She thought he's showing off. There are so many young ladies looking. She thought maybe he's showing off. Maybe he's being indecent. When we dance, people can misunderstand us. But for David, his conscience is clear. He said he was dancing before the Lord, not dancing to impress anyone, not dancing to show off. For me, you know, when I was considering this year, how the year started off with worship as usual, and then, of course, with COVID-19, and then the circuit breaker, we weren't able to come to church at all to worship. Finally, the doors were open again in July, and we could return to worship. I was happy, but except for one thing. The government said, no singing. It's a COVID safety measure, because when we sing, there's danger of infecting other people with our saliva, with our droplets, and so on. So I was disappointed. We can't sing. Singing is a major form of worship. But I was so grateful to God. There are other ways that we can still worship. And so for me, I cannot sing when I'm here with you, but I can dance. I can dance. And I want to tell you that when I dance before the Lord, it is my way of saying, Lord, thank you. I'm so grateful to you for all that you've done for me. Those of you who've known me long enough will know I spent many years of my life in terrible knee pain. My knees gave me so much trouble. I couldn't walk properly. I had to use walking sticks. I even had to go around in a wheelchair. But now that God has healed me, I am so grateful that I dance with everything I can. I dance as my way of saying, Lord, thank you. I worship you. My prayer is that all of us here will also worship the Lord in many ways, one of them being dancing. You may say, no, I'm not a dancer. I'm a very conservative person. I'm a shy person. Don't worry, we all start off that way. But if you are willing, just do it before the Lord. Dance before the Lord. Don't worry that anyone else is looking at you, but simply dance before the Lord. You know, some years ago, I was speaking to the 7 a.m. congregation about dancing. And we were at a retreat. And I was thinking before the retreat, how am I going to encourage the 7 a.m. people to dance before the Lord? They are very shy people. Many of them are elderly. And so I devised a plan so that they can dance and not be embarrassed. And so I said, we're in the hotel ballroom. Let's turn and face the walls so no one can see anyone else. You dance and no one can look at you. I said, shall we do that? And the leader said, that's a stupid idea. How can you dance facing the wall? You can't do that. So I said, okay. So I thought of another idea. I said, then we will face each other, but let's turn off all the lights so no one can see us dancing. How about that? And they said, that's a really stupid idea. They said, we will fall down if we cannot see ourselves. So I said, okay. We'll turn on the lights. We'll let everyone face each other. And you know what? The Holy Spirit came upon the people. They just dance. I looked at them. I was so shocked. I never knew that they could be so free in their worship of God. Praise God. I believe we can be too. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Because we are not dancing to impress other people, but we are dancing as our form of worship to the Lord. So, worship, firstly, is for God. Secondly, worship is for us. It is for us also. When I was a teenager, I had many memorable experiences. One of the very memorable experiences was this, my very first roller coaster ride. I remember that so well. My sister actually brought me to one of those fun fairs. It was one night, and we went up my very first time on the roller coaster. So at first, we were just going higher and higher. You know, it takes very long to reach the top. You're just inching. It's very, very slow. And then I'm wondering, will I ever reach the top? So finally, after so long, I reached the top. And then it's like life was at a standstill. Everything is just quiet. It's night. The air is very cool. Cannot hear any sound. I'm here at the top of the world. Oh, is anything going to happen? And then before I know it, everyone is screaming because suddenly the cable car is just coming down so fast. Of all the people screaming, I think maybe I was screaming one of the loudest. It's like your heart is coming out. You know, your lungs are coming out. Oh, you're just on a free fall. It cannot stop falling, and it's going down so fast. Roller coaster ride. Life can be like that. You go up, you go down. For David, he was on an emotional roller coaster. His life went up and it went down. When he first met this woman, Bathsheba, I think David was on a very emotional high. Oh, he had never seen such a beautiful woman. He fell for her immediately. A real emotional high in his life. And then, unfortunately, it didn't last long. Because when he found out that she was pregnant by him, he tried to pass the blame onto her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite had nothing to do with this pregnancy, but David tried to frame him. It didn't work. So then David had to plot the death of Uriah the Hittite. Committing murder must have been a great emotional low in the life of David, all the more because of who Uriah was. No ordinary man, but if you remember a previous sermon at this service, David's mighty men. Uriah was one of David's mighty men. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, the very last verse has the name Uriah the Hittite. He's one of David's mighty men, one of the men that David groomed, one of the men that David raised up to be a mighty warrior full of faith. And yet David killed this man. What an emotional low. But you know the roller coaster, it will go up again. And so before long, he had another emotional high when he took Bathsheba to be his own wife. Another emotional high. It didn't last long because God sent the prophet Nathan to confront him. And when Nathan rebuked David, what an emotional fall right to the bottom for David. How terrible to have your sins pointed out. How terrible to have your secret sin exposed by a prophet, by a man of God. And of course, the terrible judgment pronounced on him, that the baby born to him and Bathsheba, this baby would die. A terrible emotional low. When David heard that the baby was ill, he fasted, he prayed, he refused to eat anything. He was just praying and praying, crying out to God, desperate for a miracle. This went on for 7 days. God did not answer his prayer. On the 7th day, the baby died. David's attendants were so terrified because as long as the baby was sick, David refused to eat anything. And they were so scared that now that the baby had really died, David would completely fall apart. But no, this is what happened. 2 Samuel 12, 20. When David found out that the baby had died, David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And worshipped. I believe that worship is the ultimate expression of our submission to the will of God. The ultimate expression of us saying, Lord, your way is perfect. I accept your will. When the baby was alive and so sick, David wouldn't give up praying. He did everything he could. He fasted, he prayed, he cried out to God for healing. It didn't work. When the baby died, David could have become very bitter, very angry with God. But instead, he worshipped, saying, Lord, I believe your will is best. You know, for this, I believe that this is a way of saying that worship, was this worship that David did, was it unto God? Was it for God? Yes, and yet it was more. It was for David himself. It was his way of finding peace with himself. His way of saying, no more roller coaster emotional rides in my life. No more highs and lows in my life. From now on, I am totally surrendered to the will of God. And it is because David was able to worship and accept the will of God. Because of this, God was able to bless David with an even greater blessing. And this even greater blessing was a new baby boy born to David and Bathsheba. His name is Solomon. The Bible says, David and Bathsheba's baby, Solomon. God loved Solomon so much. This was God's greater blessing to David. I believe God would never have blessed David with Solomon if David had not worshipped. Because in worship, we surrender our will. In worship, we say, Lord, your way is best. How about us? Are we on any emotional roller coasters? I'm so high today, I'm so happy. Next minute, I'm so sad, I'm so broken. Is this how our life is? We need to find peace in the will of God. We need to find peace in the things that are happening. Most of all, find peace in our hearts. There is a song that I heard first time many years ago at a low point of my life. And it has seen me through many years. This song means a lot to me. It's not a psalm of David, but it has the same sentiment. The same sentiment that says, Lord, I am not in control of my life. But Lord, you are in control and I worship you. So I ask, wherever we are, we can remain seated. But as we listen to this song, as we look at the words, let's worship in our hearts. Let's make this as our song of worship to the Lord, as our prayer to the Lord. Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do.